Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast. Hopefully you can hear us. Please let us know in the comments if you can, because we're doing this live on YouTube, which means that, you know, there's all kinds of scope for things to go wrong. So today's episode, it's just Martin and me. Alex is sadly away on a punitive exercise because there's not enough space in prison anymore because, you know, some people keep hogging the cells, don't they, Martin? So Alex
My streaking days. I've had therapy. I am back and we'll see how it goes. I mean, no promises. That's the kind of, that's what you say. When you come out of therapy, that's what you say, right? It's no promises. No problem. First thing.
You know, you can never say that you're fixed. You know, that's true. So yeah, so Alex is on a chain gang in the Outer Hebrides, mining whiskey. I think that's what they're doing out there. Yeah, that's how they make whiskey, right? Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's right. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, so today we thought we would discuss a mystery that seemed like it was solved and then came back again and seems like it's still ongoing, still unsolved. And that's the tragic death of Hollywood star, hugely talented Natalie Wood, who died at the pretty young age of 43 years old, just as she was about to make her big career comeback after an absence of nearly a decade from the silver screen under very mysterious circumstances. But before we get stuck into that, we'd like to talk to you about what we learned this week. So Martin, tell me, what did you learn this week?
Yes. So, I learned something that might offend shorter people. So apologies if there's anyone who's shorter than average out there. But it's basically the whole thing. There's this whole thing, isn't there, that tall people often earn more in their lifetimes than shorter people.
Yeah.
And it's quite a common thing that's kind of repeated over and over again. Well, I've heard it a few times anyway. And it's often said, like, oh, tall people, they're often, they're maybe more intimidating or command more, I don't know, more respect because they're kind of taller than their peers or whatever it is. But it seems to be almost like a social thing of like, oh, they're tall. Like, there's an inbuilt part in our psyche that says, oh, we must respect people that are taller.
Yeah.
And that's repeated quite often. But apparently there's a study, and this article is actually a few years old, but I've come across this before, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Oh.
There's a study that suggests that actually it might be that tall people actually earn more than shorter people, because on average they're cleverer and have better social skills than shorter people.
Whoa.
Which, highly controversial, isn't it?
Was this study carried out by tall scientists or short scientists?
Oh, yeah. They were all people from the Netherlands who are all over 6'4". No. so this particular study, but from researchers at Ohio State University, it was back in 2015, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it suggests that the tall people are likely to have been better nourished as children, grown up in a healthy environment, which gives them a better chance of fulfilling their cognitive and social potential as adults.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the idea. I mean, it's causation versus correlation argument, isn't it?
But right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the average height in the UK is 5'9" for men and 5'3" for women. So I don't know whether you're above or below that, Robin. You're probably about that, aren't you?
If 5'9" is the average, then I'm technically above average. Yeah.
And you're incredibly
taller than me, so you must be well above average.
I think so. Yeah, I'm bordering on 6 foot, I think. But they, in this article, they've also shown some very, very wealthy people or powerful people who are not that tall. So Bill Gates is 5'10", apparently. Nicola Sturgeon's 5'4", which I don't know why they have Nicola Sturgeon in here. It's quite an odd.
She's one inch above the average female at 5'4".
These people are 1 inch above the. Yeah. So the idea is that it doesn't necessarily conflate height, particularly with intelligence, so to speak. But they've grown up in a healthier environment, and so they've got a better chance of being prosperous as adults.
I see.
So it's not suggesting that you're suddenly more intelligent if you're taller.
Yeah. Is that being taller is a sign that you've grown up in the environment that allows you to be more intelligent?
That's the idea. That's the idea.
By conventional measures. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. That's really cool. Elizabeth Elliot in the chat says, we've got a cat. No, that's not what Elizabeth says. Elizabeth says, depending on the height, I can understand social skills. I think plenty of times people don't take me seriously because I'm short. I'm sorry to hear that, Elizabeth, but I know what you mean. I think there are lots of short people. I mean, angry short man syndrome is a classic cliche because there are people who just aren't taken seriously for no reason that I can think of. What do you think, Martin?
Literally being overlooked.
Yeah, I guess. Looked down on.
Everyone should adjust their heights on. Everyone should sit down all the time and adjust their heights to be the same height on chairs. There we go. Done. But yeah, I imagine that is the case. I mean, this article is suggesting that it's slightly more inherent than that, and less based just on the height itself, but more what that means in terms of your environment you've grown up in.
Yeah.
That's sad to hear that, but I'm not surprised. If you look at most CEOs of, you know, Fortune 500 companies,
they're usually tall men.
A lot of them are, you know, 6'2" and up, aren't they? A lot of the top dogs at these companies.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, not massively surprised.
Presidents of the United States of America, most of them have been quite tall people. George Washington, famously 6'2", which is gigantic by the standards of the day.
For them, yeah. Abraham Lincoln was pretty tall.
Yes, he was something like that.
Lyndon Johnson was another really tall.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah. And even Donald Trump is over 6 feet tall. So, which for someone of his age is quite impressively tall.
Was he like 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, officially 6'3", I think. Yeah.
All right. I'm just quickly whipping up the tallest presidents list. Okay. I mean, we don't actually have a quiz this week. So this is the quiz, Robin. You have to try and guess the top three.
Okay. Well, I mean, we could have a quiz if you wanted. But yeah, guess the top three. So George Washington.
George Washington's fifth.
Oh, whoa, he's fifth. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I always got the impression Obama was tall. Is Obama in the top three?
Obama is 10th. Six
or
one.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, wow. I feel like I can't possibly guess now. There's going to be some dark horses
there. To be honest, we said the top three.
Oh, we said them all. Abraham Lincoln, Donald Trump. Is he in the top three?
He's third.
Oh, right. Okay.
So he's third. Lyndon B. Johnson second.
Yeah.
And Abraham Lincoln's first.
Right. Yeah.
6'4" for Lincoln.
Yeah.
Johnson's 6'3.5", and then Donald Trump's 6'3". So there we go. But actually looking at the average heights, I mean, if we're going into this a little bit more, like the top 20, considering, you know, this goes back so many years, the top 15 are over 6 foot. Well, actually, it's more than that because some of them are joint ranked. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. The top 19 are over 6 foot.
Wow.
Out of 45.
That's
almost half are over 6 foot. Considering it goes back so many years, that's 5'9", which is roughly the average height now. 33 out of 45 are over 5'9". But there we go.
So in America, to become the US president, probability is being over 6 foot will help.
Yes, it seems like it, doesn't it? Absolutely.
Raven Meekin has pointed out that it's Friday the 13th. That's why the audio didn't work.
It's not here though.
Great point.
It's Thursday the 12th. But yes, where
it's
you
about
are,
to be Friday the 13th. So yeah,
that's true.
So we're about to have bad luck. To be honest, if that's the bad luck I have for this Friday 13th, I'll take it. I'll take that.
True.
Although some bad luck that just happened to me. Fascinating, I know. I was in the middle of cleaning the flat and the Hoover broke. I'd done half of one room. And the Hoover,
that's even worse,
Hoover
actually,
just gave out.
If you don't do any, then people just don't really notice. If you do half, and then
it's the wrong color carpet. It's very noticeable. I should have gone for a dark carpet.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing filthy. It's just covered in the typical fluff and dust. But
yes.
Oh, thank you for that link about president's heights.
Yes, I've just shared the link in the chat with people about president's heights. Yeah. I don't know how accurate that is. It's on the President of the United States
website. It's probably accurate.
So, I mean, is that the official website? POTUS.com, probably. Yeah.
I feel like they probably have measured all the presidents because we know the height of George Washington quite clearly because he was famous for it. So if your first president, his height is a thing, then probably all the other presidents were measured as well because, it becomes
a thing,
right?
That's a good point.
I would expect so. Yeah.
I guess the only thing is that, like the older paintings of former kings, they always make them look... better than they probably looked in real life a lot of the time. So could they have added an extra inch onto some of these presidents? I mean, there's like, how many presidents are supposedly 6 foot? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it's quite a few at 5'11.5", which you think that if they were to get up, they'd round those up. That would just make it 6 foot.
Which would suggest it's accurate, if they're adding half inches.
That's Nixon's 5'11.5". I thought he was shorter than that.
Yeah. I guess it's to do with personality, isn't it? It comes across as...
He's kind of hunched as well.
Yeah, doesn't come across as a big man in the way he doesn't have the charisma to fill the room. Yeah, which is interesting. Raven also points out that Napoleon was taller than them. Napoleon, not as short as we like to think, probably because of British propaganda to say, oh, he's a short Frenchie. And he's actually quite tall.
Exactly, yeah.
So your fact was about the earning potential of people in society, the success, the probability people will earn more based on their height, but it's actually a correlation, not a cause. My fact was weirdly about earnings as well.
Money on the mind.
Yeah, but also a dead celebrity. So this week I learned that the top earning dead celebrity of 2021 was...
Oh, can I guess? Can I guess?
Go for it.
Can we all guess? Can we all have a go?
Everybody have a guess. I'll count down. 3, 2, 1. Type your guess into the comments. Oh, good guess. Michael Jackson was not the top earning dead celebrity of... 2021.
Oh, it would be somebody who's died more recently then, if they've brought out a film.
You know? I like your thinking, right, but not really.
It's going to be a music artist with royalties, surely.
So, music artists are up there. I think Michael Jackson was the third highest earning.
Okay.
Elvis Presley was the fourth or the fifth. But the highest earning, dead celebrity was... Roald Dahl, the author.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because, when the film The Witches came out, and so everything that he wrote is within copyright, belongs to the Roald Dahl estate still, because he's got 70 years after his death, it's within copyright. And all these films and the merchandise, and every time the books get reprinted and every time they sell, the royalties go to his estate, his family.
And
$513 million in 2021.
What?
I know. Half a billion dollars went to Roald Dahl.
What?
I know.
Imagine if it happened to be his benefactors of that.
His family do not have to work. Yeah. They are safe and sound.
Yeah. Very true. Wow. That's amazing. Half a billion.
Mm.
Just from royalties.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is Netflix, because Netflix did a massive deal to adapt everything he ever did. So I think most of that is Netflix, but still, I mean...
Yeah, the Roald Dahl cinematic universe is here.
Oh gosh, it is, yeah. I mean, to be fair, that's an acceptable one, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
In his mind, they existed in the same world, so why not? Why not?
They're also really good, and there's a finite amount.
Yes.
They can't just keep on going over
the
next 40
years. It's not like the Marvel films, which just keep going.
To make up a new story.
Yeah. So normally at this point in the podcast, we discuss comments that we like from recent videos. But because it's live, we've been responding to you. So, you know, thank you for joining us. Thank you for commenting. Just so you know, this is being live streamed, but only to our wonderful Patreon supporters and YouTube members and other special individuals who give us their support, because you're all wonderfully kind people, and without you, we just couldn't keep going. So thank you so much. We try to do at least one live stream podcast that's available to everybody when it's live. All of our episodes will be available to everybody on podcast platforms and on YouTube after they've gone live. But for this particular live stream, it's just our wonderful Patreon supporters and YouTube members. And if you want to join them, then please do head over to patreon.com/justinteresting or become a channel member on YouTube. But of course, you'll be able to listen to this podcast in full later on. There will be a link in the description below if you're watching us on YouTube later on, because we'll be taking out this discussion and putting it up as its own video. For people who want to get to the meat of the topic rather than listen to us try to fix the audio for half an hour.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about? So, Martin, would you like to talk about Natalie Wood?
I would. The accidental puns are starting already. Yes, Natalie Wood. And this is, as I said at the start, I can't remember whether it was in the bit that we scrapped at the start or whether I said it this time, but the Natalie Wood case is one that I've never actually looked at, never properly looked into. And that's why I wanted to, because I heard bits and pieces about it. You know, Christopher Walken, Max Zorin himself was involved in some way, but I never knew much about it. So having a look at it this week was fascinating, and I didn't know much about Natalie Wood either. So I learned quite a lot. So yeah, let's dive into it. So a bit of background about Natalie Wood herself: born in 1938, and was a child film star. One of her most memorable ones was Miracle on 34th Street, which I have to admit I've never actually seen in its entirety. And people go, oh, you know, best Christmas film ever. I've never seen it. So I might watch it now. Unlike other stars as well, she actually transitioned pretty successfully from being a child actress to an adult actress, and not an adult actress. That sounds dodgy.
Doesn't it?
She transitioned to being a, what's the word for it? Just an actress.
A star,
a Hollywood star. In their own right. You know, didn't go down the path of that so many do nowadays anyway. And she was pretty prolific as well. Acted in the 1950s and 1960s in particular. She did tons of movies. Some of the most popular were Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean.
Yeah.
And West Side Story, of course.
Yeah, great movie.
Maria on West Side Story. So, yeah, she did like six movies, I think, including like TV movies.
How many?
Which is mental. 56, apparently.
56,
Which is mad, considering she died at 43. And I had a quick look. I looked it up, like, okay, let's compare this with someone who I think has been in tons of movies. So I compared it with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh,
Leo.
Yeah.
And he starred on Wikipedia in the filmography. He starred in 37 movies. So considering he also did movies when he was pretty young.
Yeah, he started very young.
56 is just mad.
It is. She was a huge star. And she had three Oscar nominations by the time she was 25, I think, didn't she?
Yeah. I think like she won a couple of like up-and-coming awards, but never actually won an Oscar. But yeah, three Oscar nominations and four Golden Globes. So yeah, a pretty big star of the time.
Pretty big.
And her personal life in terms of relationships is a little bit confusing. So I'm going to try and get this right, but just bear with me. So she married her first husband, actor Robert Wagner. Did you say Wagner? Would you say Wagner? American?
Wagner, yeah, he's American.
Yeah, so, yeah. At the age of 19 in 1957. And they were married for under 4 years, in fact, until they announced their divorce. She went on to date other people, including Michael Caine, which is quite amazing.
That's a funny
such an odd combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Oh, Boss the Puss. Yeah, it's a weird one. And Warren Beatty. Before she then married a British film producer, a guy called Richard Gregson, in 1969. But actually, they got divorced a couple of years later as well. And their divorce was finalized in 1972. And then after that, she actually had a couple of relationships and then returned to her first husband. They rekindled things. So her and Robert Wagner, and they had a daughter called Courtney together in 1974. And so at the time of this accident, the incident that led to her unfortunate demise, she was with Robert Wagner, her first husband.
But okay, she married him for the second time.
The second time,
correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So the accident. So we go on a few years. So they had the daughter in 1974. And so now we're looking a little bit later. We're looking at in 1981 here. So Natalie Wood was on a boat, on a yacht, on a weekend trip with Robert Wagner. Mm-hmm. Alongside Hollywood star Christopher Walken, who she was starring in a movie with, a sci-fi movie called Brainstorm.
Excellent film, actually, by the way. Yeah,
it's actually.
Yeah,
I looked at the movie poster and I was like, I'm not sure about this.
It was a bit of a flop. It was an expensive film and it flopped hard when it came out because I think it's so badly marketed. And you know, watch the trailer, look at the poster, and you're like, it looks bad, crap. But it looks like a very B movie. It's very good. It's very hard sci-fi. It's obviously it was almost never released because they were still filming it at the time of her death.
Yeah, well, she died in 1981, didn't she? In November 1981. Yeah. And it was finally released in 1983, I think.
That's correct, yeah.
So a while for it to come out post, obviously. So they're all on board. So there was Natalie Wood, her husband, Richard Wagner, whose yacht it was, Christopher Walken, who she was starring in the movie with, and then the yacht's captain, a guy called Dennis Davin. Mm. And they were sailing off the coast of Catalina Island, so in California. And so on the night of Saturday, the 28th of November, 1981, they went to this restaurant called Doug's Harbor Reef And had a big night, let's just say. It was heavy drinking, and they had some food. And they drank so much, in fact, that the restaurant manager, a guy called Don Whiting, later said, after the investigation, that he was worried that the four of them, so it seems odd that the yacht's captain he included here too, like surely the captain should be staying sober. But anyway, all four of them were too intoxicated to make it back to the boat safely. He was worried that, you know, that something would happen, which, you know, is he predicting the future here? So they then returned to the yacht, where an argument occurred between Wagner and Walken. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of a dispute at the time or in the investigation about what this argument was about. Wagner said that they were arguing over career advice that Walken had given Wood. But later on, as we'll find out, Dennis Davin said that it was actually about something else, something more personal between Walken and Wood.
Right.
So Dennis Davin, the yacht's captain, said that Wood had been getting closer and closer to Walken during this weekend, that she had, in fact, become, you know, infatuated with Walken, and the fact that they'd been drinking a lot during this meal meant that they were kind of laughing and flirting, and as a result her husband Robert Wagner had been getting a little bit irate, to say the least, about what was going on. You know, he was you know, not doing so good, something that he denies, but he does admit that there was an altercation between the two of them, not physical, because they managed to calm down before it got back to that stage, but there was an altercation on the night of Wood's death. And so Wood apparently left where this argument was occurring and went to like her room, supposedly, around the time of this argument. So they left the restaurant around 10:30, I think, and got back just shortly after that. Just after 11 p.m., the crew on the boat, so all of them, realized that Natalie Wood was missing, as was the dinghy that was used for her to get back to the boat from the shore. Mm. So she was missing, the dinghy was missing. Now at 1:30 a.m., so this is what, almost 2.5 hours later, a call was made to the shore from the boat. So that's one thing that immediately, you know, comes up. You know, why was there such a big time period between them realizing that she was missing and calling the shore? And one thing could be that with the dinghy missing, they think that Natalie would have just, you know, been fed up of the argument and the arguing and had got on this dinghy and tried to go back to shore. So there was kind of no reason to worry. But that seems kind of unfeasible for a couple of reasons. And we'll get onto those in a little bit. But basically, this first call was made at 1:30, almost a couple of hours after she went missing, or more than a couple of hours. Then a second call was made to the Coast Guard at 3:30 a.m. So this is a long time after she supposedly disappeared, you know, over 4 hours later, which is mad. And then so the Coast Guard got involved, looked around the shore, and her body was found face down floating approximately a mile from the boat. Mm. So she was found dead the next morning.
Yeah, and she wasn't dressed, was she? Fully, she was.
No, she was. She was found in basically night clothes, and so that's another thing. Like, if she was going to get on this boat and travel to shore or to get away, that's not the clothes she'd be wearing. So that's one thing that's definitely worth noting here. And so the next day, the autopsy was performed, and the medical examiner noted that her alcohol levels in Wood's bloodstream were 0.14. But, you know, I looked up on a chart what this means, and it basically means that you're very inebriated. You know, you're not just tipsy, you're properly drunk, would be stumbling around.
Right.
You'd be really out of it. And so she was impaired at the time of her death, significantly impaired. Another thing to add to this is that she was actually taking some seasickness pills and painkillers at the same time, which could potentially increase the effects of the alcohol too. So she could have been incredibly inebriated and not really knowing what was going on, which kind of backs up the idea that she could have had an accident. So anyway, the autopsy was performed, and the medical examiner said that there was severe bruising on her body, on her face and on her limbs, which was consistent with a fall overboard. So it's really backing up the idea that she was really drunk. She tried to get into this dinghy, or untying it, you know, got in trouble, fell overboard, hit herself, and then drowned because she couldn't swim. That's one of the things. She was terrified of water because she couldn't swim. So much so, in fact, that on certain shoots, previously when she'd been filming, she had asked to not film in water, but instead film in like a more like shallow pool, like a regulator pool, as opposed to in like a reservoir for one of her scenes in one of her films. Yeah. So she was definitely like terrified of water. Yeah. So would she be really at night be trying to step into a dinghy to get back to shore?
Yeah.
Even if she was drunk, it seems unlikely. Yeah. This is something her sister brought up after her death as well.
But also, just to hammer the point home, Natalie Wood published an autobiography before, you know, several years before she died. And she says in the autobiography that she has a deep, terrified fear of seawater, deep water, I think, dark water, she calls it, but seawater, yes. She specifically says seawater. So there's no doubt that she was absolutely terrified of going into the water, particularly seawater. And that's where they were in a bay, admittedly, but you know.
Yeah, it also seems mad that she's okay going out at night and then coming back to the boat when it's pitch black in the dark water. That must have been scary in itself. But yeah, I mean, in fact, there was a really quite horribly ironic moment where she was filming one of her movies. You might know which one, Robin. I can't remember. Mm. And there's a scene where they were in the Bay of Catalina. Like the scene was in the Bay of Catalina. And the idea was that she had to be thrown overboard into the water. Mm. And of course she refused to do it because she was scared, terrified of the water. And so a stunt double came in and performed the scene for her. And the stunt double actually got caught in the reeds underneath the boat and almost drowned as a result. And this was early on in her career.
Oh my gosh.
And it's almost
scary.
Like a horrible foreshadowing of what eventually happened, you know, in the same body of water, which is really terrifying. But yeah, that's just as an aside, but scary.
That's a spooky coincidence. Spooky and terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so anyway, the coroner says that basically this is an accident, a really unfortunate accident. She couldn't swim, and no one's to blame, apart from the fact that, you know, there was an argument between Walken and Wagner, which meant that she was left alone, you know, and that was unfortunate. Mm. And it was raining that night as well, so it was slippery, slipped over and fell in. And so the case was shut until 30 years later in November 2011. And on November 18th, 2011, the ship's captain, so Dennis Davin, admitted in an interview actually with NBC that he had initially lied to police when he was interviewed back in 1981 because he was scared of Wagner and being basically told to keep shun about it.
Yeah.
And he stated in this time that Wagner and Wood had in fact had a row that night, as well as Wagner and Walken. And it got incredibly heated and items were being thrown and smashed in their cabin. And that he believes and has good reason to believe that Wagner had in fact killed Wood because he was angry at her flirtatious advances on Christopher Walken.
Right.
And so as a result of this, the LA County Sheriff's Department changed her cause of death from accidental drowning to drowning and other undetermined factors. And the primary reason that they did this was because some of the bruises found on Wood's body during her initial autopsy may have actually been sustained before she drowned and were considered to be unlikely just as a result of her fall. And so they couldn't determine that it was just accidental, but they also couldn't determine that it was purposeful and that she had been, you know, thrown in or chucked overboard or beaten up first.
Yes, I think in particular, there's actually, they released, I think, the sketch, the coroner's sketch from the autopsy of the injuries on her body. And there's an arrow pointing to a bruise, I think, on her cheek. And next to the arrow, it says, in an upwards direction. So it looks like she was hit on her cheek from below, which could be, you know, an uppercut, you know, somebody swinging their hand at her at her face rather than, you know, hitting the water.
I mean, I guess if you slip and then bang yourself potentially it could cause some accident, but I guess there'd be a mark from like a, I don't know, a mark consistent with either the dinghy or the boat, so they obviously maybe had more reason to believe it was a punch. I guess if you're in the water as well, I imagine if you drown, you would initially sink, wouldn't you? So you could hit yourself on a rock or something. But anyway, yeah. So it definitely opens things up to further investigation. And then a few years later after this, in 2018, Robert Wagner was named by police as a person of interest in this case. Ooh. Now, it doesn't mean that you're a suspect necessarily, but it does mean that you're being considered by police as a person who's key to the solving of this case. And more times than not, it does mean that you're considered a suspect. Mm. But Wagner now is 92 years old. And it seems that if he is guilty of this, that, you know, he won't be punished or it won't come to trial because, you know, unless he lives for a lot longer, which could be the case. But it seems for now that, you know, that's where we're at in terms of what's happening.
Yeah. It's odd, though, that he, in 2018, he refused to speak to police. He was one of the few people involved in the incident who police went back to and said, we'd like to take your witness statements again. And Robert Wagner refused and said, I'm not going to speak to the police.
I think he'd spoken to them a few times, hadn't he? On a number of occasions. And one of the issues was that his testimony slightly changed. And you could put this down to the passing of time and the fact that, you know, you think about our memories and a lot of them are false memories because we're remembering things based on other people's stories or hearing different accounts or just, you know, your mind just remembering things in a slightly different way. You think with the night that, well, I don't know how clear it was in his mind if he was blackout drunk.
Yeah, you think probably that not that clear.
At least your initial story that you told police, if true, would be fairly consistent. So, yeah. I mean, he's getting old. You'd expect that it wouldn't necessarily be as consistent. You know, a 92-year-old versus a 62-year-old, or actually would be 52 then, wouldn't he? Or maybe slightly young, 51, would he have been? Trying to date back
data. In 1981.
Yeah, would have been 51, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there might be other reasons why he's not speaking to the police now. That's the way it's remained. So, was the official verdict correct, or was Natalie Wood murdered? So, as we've said previously, Natalie Wood was terrified of this dark water. And so would she have stepped onto this boat in the middle of the night, even if she was drunk, if she was that terrified? I personally don't think that she was likely to have.
Nah.
She could have still slipped off the boat, performing another task, or just fallen overboard somehow. But I don't think she would have stepped into this dinghy or even, you know, untied the dinghy. I mean, there's definitely, I know that in Davin's report, he said that he could hear someone untying the dinghy. And he attributed that later to Wagner as opposed to Natalie Wood, suggesting that he had obviously chucked her in the water and then untied the dinghy to let that go, to make it look like it was.
So he could construct the story that she was trying to sail away, paddle away, whatever.
Exactly.
In the dinghy.
Yeah. There was also two as of yet unidentified witnesses that claimed on that night that they heard a woman screaming. And so that could have been Natalie Wood being attacked, could have been her being thrown into the water and screaming, or could have been her just falling overboard. But you'd expect that if she fell overboard and was screaming, that, you know, someone would have come to help her on that night and pulled her out of the water.
Yes.
And again, Davin later in his recounting of the story said that Wagner had actually thrown Natalie Wood into the water and then potentially had said not to rescue her because she basically deserved it. And that's something that he later brought up, but there's definitely credibility issues with Davin, which we'll come on to. So the other thing is Wood's going missing, of course, at 11 p.m. according to Wagner, but no call was made until 1:30 and then 3:30 calling the Coast Guard. Why was this the case? Were they trying to get their story straight as a group, or had Wagner thrown her in and the other two were you know, bedded down for the night, or it's difficult to know why there was that gap, and that's still just a mystery that hasn't been solved and is likely not to be solved.
Because I feel like, even though it was, you know, a yacht, a fancy yacht, and they were drunk and it would have been comfortable on the yacht, I feel like if we bring it up, the picture again on screen, that's not the biggest boat in the world. And the dinghy you can see off the side of the boat there is, you know, there's not a huge distance between the dinghy, the side of the boat, the deck, and the rooms inside. So if Natalie Wood fell off, screamed, and was in the water, and there's those scratches on the side of the boat that's prove that she was trying to clamber back on when she was in the water, and she's presumably not only scratching and hammering the side of the boat trying to clamber back on, but she's screaming and yelling for help while she's doing this, you'd think somebody would have heard.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, I hope I'm not jumping ahead of you here, Martin, but I think it's plausible to think that maybe she did. The accidental death theory could actually be true. And I think the evidence mm-hmm. that you suggested so far, even the witnesses overhearing a woman screaming, could actually be just, you know, Natalie Wood falling into the water and panicking before she drowned because she couldn't swim. And that all kind of, it's plausible that it's accidental. But what I don't get is the whole thing about, if there's evidence on the side of the boat that she was trying to get back onto the boat, that means she was conscious for long enough in the water to try to get back on the boat. And therefore, if she was conscious, she was making noise. And if she was making noise, that means the other people on the boat should have been able to hear her. And
unless you're completely... The thing is, they weren't... If there was screaming going on between Walken and Wagner at that time, and smashing, perhaps it could have maybe overshadowed any kind of...
No, you're completely right. Yeah, Christopher Walken could have been lying in his bunk thinking, oh, they're still at it. You know, they're still arguing. Yes. So he hears her in the water and just doesn't respond because he's... Also, and let's be fair, some people are deep sleepers and people are more inclined to sleep deeply when they're very drunk. So
yes, we
should give them the benefit of the doubt in that regard, that the other people on the boat were all drunk enough that nothing could have woken them. But then they were awake just a couple of hours later.
Yes.
You know, awake enough to go to call the police in the early hours of the morning. So what is it? I'm confused. Like, were they drunk, asleep, or were they awake enough to have heard and helped her? That's what I don't quite get.
It's almost like they can't be both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless, of course, she hit the water, froze up because of it being so cold and just kind of scrambled a bit. But you'd expect that if you can scramble and use your muscles for that, you'd be able to call out.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. It's possible she didn't, but it, I don't know.
Yeah. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, she was wearing a nightgown when she was found.
Mm.
And so it suggests that she wasn't necessarily trying to climb onto her dinghy just to get away and, you know, get back to shore or have a bit of space. Not that she wants to do that anyway, being terrified of the water. Like two things there. You don't go into a dinghy in your nightclothes unless you have to. And she's not going to be going into that water by herself, you know. You're not going to be going into that dinghy by herself. If you're terrified of it, you wouldn't want to do that, sure.
Yeah, so here's a question. So people getting drunk, and if there's a bit of drugs involved as well, exacerbating or accentuating the drunkenness, people tend to lose their inhibitions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in your experience, Martin, does drunkenness make you overcome your fears or just your inhibitions? You know, as a prolific streaker, how do you find drunkenness affects people's behavior in that way?
That's a good question. I think a bit of both. I think it probably can overcome, you can be more reckless and not worry about the consequences of things. Mm. But maybe it is your inhibitions as opposed to your fear.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think if you're truly terrified, I don't think you're doing that, are you? You're not jumping into a dinghy on your own in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because I haven't been drunk too many times in life, and I've never been blind drunk, but I've been drunk enough to definitely do things that I wouldn't do if I were sober. But I have never... I have a fear of heights, for example. Actually, not really a fear of heights. A fear of falling from a great height. And I've never, when drunk, thought, I'm going to climb that really tall building. In fact, opposite. I've looked and thought, you know, if someone who's drunker than me has said, I'm going to climb the scaffolding, my brain has gone, not while I'm drunk. That's the recipe for disaster. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Even worse.
And I've discouraged that person from doing it. And luckily enough, nothing bad has ever happened. So
it's also just mad. Like, also, the other thing is, what's she going to do? Like, either get into the dinghy and go off into the sea, or if she goes to the shore, what's she going to do there either? She's like, where she's staying and her lodgings are on the boat. Like, it's one of those that you're like, well, it'd be great to get away. I can't. There's nowhere else for me to go.
Yeah.
At that time, especially.
I guess that's it. Like, was she? It sounds like if she were so drunk, she might have done something that seems irrational. But she would have been so drunk as to act out of character.
That's
the thing. Would she really be likely to act so out of character? I don't know. It seems like everything, the official story that explains the accidental drowning, to me, doesn't really make sense.
No.
In terms of Natalie Wood's behavior, yeah.
It just doesn't quite add up, does it? There are conflicting factors in play. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Rocket Summer. Welcome, Rocket Summer. Thanks for joining us. Comment says, I'm skeptical of a lot of evidence in this case, but the constant arguing and presence of someone who likely exacerbated the marital problems between Wood and Wagner is a recipe for disaster. And I mean, I think you're right. That's regardless of what actually happened on the night she died, that whole trip on the yacht was in a way a disaster waiting to happen in some respect. When their marriage is a bit tense, and Christopher Walken, who Natalie Wood is spending a lot of time as the lover of in this film, are getting close. Yeah, it seems like a bad idea.
It does strike me. I'm not quite sure why Christopher Walken's there on the boat with them, regardless. It seems like such an odd thing. Like, yeah, you got the captain there, you got a married couple, and then just Christopher Walken.
Well, they were making the film Brainstorm at the time, so I guess Natalie Wood. I agree with you. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the source of the tension. It's like Robert Wagner is, why is he here? And she's like, he's my new friend. And I imagine Christopher Walken is, you know, Christopher Walken will do anything. Does he even know where he is and why he is at any given moment in time?
It's pretty crazy. Later, Davin said all these things. But he also said that Wagner actually gave him like a job after Wood's death and let him live in a home, in his home. Mm. He was like kept. He was basically kept under lock and key to keep his mouth shut about what happened on the boat.
Very strange.
Which is very strange. Mm. It kind of doesn't make sense that if Davin was pressured into keeping his mouth shut, that he would want to work for someone he knew killed Natalie Wood, regardless, right? So I think when you're looking at Davin's later testimony and him implicating Wagner in this, I mean, he says that he only wanted to bring this new evidence to the surface because he kept his mouth shut for so long and he didn't want to die without people knowing the truth.
Yeah.
But then you look at it and you're like, okay, well, he's released a book about it. He had a podcast about it. He's been on the news. He's been on TV shows. He's done all this. He's become a bit of a celebrity and obviously profited quite nicely out of it.
Yeah.
Is this his retirement plan, you know?
It seems like it, yeah. Because the fact that it suddenly comes up again in 2011 suggests that maybe he was needed a bit of dough, a bit of quick cash, so he decided to resurrect and flog that dead horse. Resurrect and flog that dead horse.
I mean, only the one thing that does kind of corroborate his evidence is the fact that when he was drunk a few years earlier, he actually phoned the sister of Natalie Wood. I think it was the sister.
Lana Wood, yeah.
Yeah, that's his sister, isn't it? Lana Wood.
Yeah.
And basically said that this is what happened, that Wagner had killed her in this rage, thrown her into the water. And that corroborates with his later testimony.
Yeah.
So
there's evidence to believe that Davin at least believes his story. He may not be right about Wagner killing Natalie Wood.
Yeah, or is at least consistent with the story.
Yeah, he's consistent with it.
He could be false, but he's consistent.
True, yeah. So, yeah. Because that's the thing, isn't it? That's what prompted police to open, you already mentioned this, in 2011, to reopen the case and investigate, is the fact that all the people, Christopher Walken and the ship captain and the witnesses on shore, their stories have stayed the same throughout the years when they've been interviewed and asked about it, whereas Robert Wagner's has changed.
Yes.
And so that's kind of what really compelled them to reopen it. And they also interviewed somebody who used to be Natalie Wood's neighbor. So back in the 60s when she was married to Robert Wagner, I think, and they said that one night she woke them up, hammering in a panic on their door, screaming, "He's going to kill me, he's going to kill me." And it turns out that she and Robert Wagner had had a terrible fight and it turned physically abusive and she ran out of the house, clearly fearful for her life.
There's obviously history.
Yeah, there's clearly a pattern of behavior that would lend plausibility to the to Devon's story.
I'm interested to know what people think in the comments and at home. If you're watching this at the time live on YouTube, so our Patreon members and our YouTube supporters there, but if you're not, let us know in the comment section below. And let us know what you think of this particular case. I mean, it's an intriguing one and one that I'm not sure will be definitively solved. Wagner becoming a person of interest is definitely a move in the, not the right direction, but it's a move in a direction.
Absolutely.
And there's obviously a reason for them to bring him into it as a person of interest. So I don't know, we'll see whether that goes any further or whether he'll, you know, potentially die before that does happen.
Given his age, I think you're right, nothing is likely to happen. Even if the police investigation does produce compelling, conclusive evidence, they probably wouldn't send him to jail because of his age. Worst that would happen might be house arrest, but from the sound of things, he was on NCIS, the TV show, and when the pandemic started, he basically locked himself in his house and hasn't really come out since then. So he's already under a kind of self-imposed house arrest at this time of life.
And I think his daughter. Sorry,
man. I was going to say, and that's assuming they actually find any evidence that proves he's guilty and they charge him for it. It might be that they find nothing, or it might be that they find evidence that he's innocent, that his story is true. I don't know what evidence they could find to prove innocence, except, of course, we should always assume in our Western society that someone is innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, that if they haven't found anything by now, it does kind of suggest that they're, what more evidence can they be that's not just witness testimony?
I mean, there's also the question of the statute of limitations, right? So it wasn't officially a suspicious case. It was closed as an accidental death just like 5 days after she... No, I think 12 days after she died. The case was closed back in 1981. So that's fine. They're allowed to reopen a case, a cold case, an old case, if they find new evidence. And they clearly did. But then that was now 11 years ago that they opened the case. So at what point will the law prevent the police from taking the case any further in the investigation of a suspicious death? I don't know. I feel like it probably would come up pretty soon unless they find more new evidence, which, given they spent 6 years investigating it before they decided to make Robert Wagner a person of interest, and it's now been 4 years since they did that, I feel like chances are slim that we'll have a resolution to this case anytime soon.
Yeah, it seems unlikely, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It seems unlikely.
Which is very sad.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Martin?
I mean,
cast your vote now.
I don't think it will be definitively solved, but to me, it seems like there's a decent amount of at least doubt on the official story. So there's huge holes in it, it seems to me. I remember Robert Wagner's daughter interviewed him. It was last year, potentially last year.
Yeah.
Asking him directly about it, and like, did you have any involvement? But her angle was always asking him, in a pretty scripted way, to get him to say, no, I had nothing to do with it. And then her to go, yes, I know you didn't.
Right.
You didn't call my mother. Okay. You know, there's definitely, but he has the support of his family, it seems. I don't know what that changes. But
I think maybe Natalie Wood's daughter with her second husband, Richard Gregson. I think she's continued to cast suspicion on Robert Wagner. But she's not genetically related to Robert Wagner. She's his stepdaughter. So
it's interesting how often that happens. Like, it happened. Have you seen the documentary The Staircase? It was released originally by a French production company about 15 years ago. I remember I watched it in about 2009, 2010, and then they re-released it on Netflix like a year ago, maybe.
Yeah, because now they've got the new TV series as well, haven't they?
It's a really, really good one. In terms of, if you're a true crime fan, it's great. And I haven't seen the, I haven't seen the latest re-release, because the old one I think was like, it was like 9x6 or something. It was like old school.
Right, yeah.
I remember watched it ripped on the internet somewhere. but it's a guy, Michael Peterson or Matthew Peterson. I can't remember. It's ages since I've seen it. But his daughters, even after all the evidence came out about the, you know, it seems likely that he's been, I don't want to give any spoilers, but yeah, he basically killed her. They still support him regardless.
Yeah, yeah, so you never know, can you?
Without any doubt, yeah.
Sometimes blood is thicker than water.
Yes, yes. So yeah, so it seems unlikely that that we'll have a resolution to it. But Christopher Walken, he did an interview a few years back as well.
Yeah.
And he was basically like, official line, official story is correct. She slipped on the boat, she fell off. It was tragic, but you know, these things happen. Mm. You see people slip over, it was raining.
Right.
When asked if he was... how he felt about reopening the case, he was like, I'm not so sure. So
yeah, well, it's got to be quite traumatic for him, because he was directly involved in the whole thing. And
yeah, exactly.
At such an early stage in his career as well, with someone who presumably was an acting idol for him, because he would have grown up watching Natalie Wood, and to suddenly become good friends with her and possibly hints of romance, it must have been quite traumatic for him, let alone for Robert Wagner, let alone for everyone else involved. You know what I think? I bet the truth lies in between, and that there was physical violence between Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood, hence all the injuries. And then in an angry huff, she walked out and he's like, yeah, good riddance, and just goes to bed. And then she drowns. And maybe he did go looking for her. And he was too drunk to have the wherewithal to save her.
He left her.
Maybe there's a bit of a lie on his part, like the whole dinghy story. Maybe he's like, yeah, she tried to go on the dinghy and she fell into the water. Maybe what actually happened was she's in the water, he's drunk, I'm like, how can I save her? And he's like, I'm going to untie the dinghy, get into the dinghy. And, you know, I'm speculating wildly here, but I'm saying that's the kind of thing a drunk person might do, in the kind of like, how can I help them? What can I do? I'm panicking. And then when he's officially asked, he's like, yeah, she tried to get into the dinghy. I had nothing to do with it. You know, that's what I think. I think there's probably somewhere in between is the truth. And the ship's
truth
captain
often does lie in between.
Yeah, because the ship's captain didn't witness it. You know, he's got a strong sense of his story, but he didn't see it happen.
Mm.
You know, even his own story doesn't, he doesn't claim to have seen it happen. He just says, I saw them fighting and I think he pushed her into the water, right?
Yeah.
That's not
Yeah,
the same.
I mean, he says, I know that. He's quite firm in his assertion, but it doesn't mean that it's right.
Yeah, exactly. So, not to belabor a point, I agree with you that we'll never know, but I think we can make an educated guess. But please do tell us what you think, either in the comments below on YouTube, or if you're listening to us on a podcast platform of your choice, let us know on Twitter. I'm at All Time Robin.
I'm at Mart Interesting.
Or you can contact the channel at JInterestingYT.
Woohoo!
Yeah! And if you want to get more live stream goodness from us, we also have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ _interesting, where we do some gaming streaming and the occasional podcast. We might actually, I was thinking about doing a podcast live stream on Twitch, because there's a quiz function, a widget for interactive quizzes. How exciting would that be? No promises, but you know, it might be fun to do. And of course, thank you to all of our lovely Patreon supporters and YouTube members. You're amazing and you keep us going. And thank you for joining us. Thank you so much. And thanks, Martin, for telling that story really well, and for kind of like laying out the different facts and the complex kind of backstory to the whole thing. So thank you.
Oh, no trouble. I've really enjoyed having a look into this one.
Well, thanks for watching, everybody, and see you soon.
See you soon.
Good night.